Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. retail sales edged up in July despite a drop in auto sales. Retail sales increased 0.2% in July from June. Core retail sales, which exclude the volatile auto, gas, and building supply categories, rose 0.5% in July. Dole Food says it will be taken private by its CEO in a deal that values the company at about $1.21 billion. Dole's board unanimously approved the offer, which still needs the approval of at least a majority of outstanding shares held by stockholders and other than CEO David Murdoch and his affiliates. Eurostat today reports that industrial output in the 17 nations that use the euro rose at its fastest pace in more than 2.5 years during the 3 months to June. Industrial output in June rose 0.7% from May. The increase in industrial production suggests the eurozone economy's long contraction has ended. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS reported its latest crop progress report for the week ending August 11th. 32% of corn is in dough stage versus 18% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 48%. 5% is dented versus the five-year rolling average of 17%. Corn conditions look like this: good to excellent, 64%. That's unchanged from last week. Fair, 25%, poor, 8%, and very poor, 3%. 58% of soybeans are setting pods versus 39% a week ago, and the five-year rolling average is 68%. Soybean conditions, good to excellent, 64%. That's unchanged from a week ago. Fair, 27%, poor, 7%, and very poor, 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,376, is down 11 points. The NASDAQ, 3,126, is up 2.25. And the S&P 500 is 1,686, and it is down 0.25 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely encounter generally dry weather as we move forward through this next 4 or 5 days. I don't think there's going to be a lot of precipitation around except in the western fringes of the Corn Belt, where areas from South Dakota into Kansas and Missouri will likely experience a little bit of precipitation that could offer some continued favorable crop and field conditions. The area that's going to be most impacted will probably include the regions from South Dakota into Kansas and Missouri. A little bit of western Iowa may get involved with this. Some of the previous computer forecast model data had suggested that there would be perhaps a general soaking for Iowa, but that seems to be way out of line, and that the model data is correcting itself with each new model run, reducing that prospect for precipitation across some of that region, and it's going to continue to be mostly a region that's going to continue to need a significant precipitation for a while. The rain that does occur off to the west could run upwards to 1.5 inches, I suppose, in some locations, and 0.3 inches to 1 inch may be more common. There could be a couple of counties that get even heavier rainfall, but it's not going to be common. The high pressure system that will be prevailing over the rest of the Midwest will keep weather basically free and clear of any real significant precipitation for a while. There'll be a few showers over eastern and southern portions of the region today, and then that'll be about it for a while. We have to wait for a tropical disturbance from the Caribbean Sea to come up into the Gulf of Mexico and through the southeastern United States before the high pressure system in the Midwest is going to abate. This tropical disturbance still has potential to become a tropical depression or a tropical storm before it reaches the U.S. coast. Today's forecast path has the system turning a little bit more to the right of what was advertised yesterday, suggesting that maybe the system will move inland over Florida, northwestern Florida in particular, and then move up into the Carolinas after passing through a part of Georgia. All of this occurs over the coming weekend. And rain totals will run anywhere from 2 to 4 inches in association with this event. But with that said, if it does develop into a more organized tropical cyclone, the rain potentials will get much heavier, and the system should be closely monitored. Outside of that, we won't see much else that's abnormal across the Midwest for a little while. We do expect temperatures to be well below average, though, and that's going to be the other issue that everyone will watch closely. Temperatures tomorrow morning and also on Thursday morning may get into the middle and upper 30s across portions of Minnesota and Wisconsin. We already saw some of that this morning. In fact, temperatures this morning were down as low as 35 degrees in north central portions of Minnesota and 37 in the interior northeast corner of North Dakota. These temperatures will continue to shift off to the east. High temperatures in the Great Lakes region may be limited to the 60s the next couple of days. 70s will occur in many other areas across the Midwest. We'll expect to see a bit of a warming trend develop eventually as we move into the latter part of the weekend and on into next week. In fact, some warming will occur long before that, over a portion of the region as we finish out this work week. Most of the 60-degree highs and lows in the upper 30s and lower 40s will abate as we get into Friday and Saturday. The warmest weather in the Midwest, though, will hold off until early next week, at which time we'll see a lot of highs across the region in the 80s, perhaps even a few lower 90s in the southwest. We'll expect the low temperatures outside of those very cold areas in the upper Midwest to run mostly in the 50s. Over these next few nights, we'll likely see a few upper 40s surrounding the area of upper 30-degree readings. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat is 705, down 1 3/4. Soft December wheat is 646 and a quarter, down 2 3/4. September corn, 466, down 6. December, 456 and 3/4, down 7 1/4. August soybeans, 1379, up 5 1/4. September, 1258 and 3/4, up 2 1/4. November, at 1228 and a quarter, up 3. August soybean meal, 428.50, up 280. September, 403.20, up 50. August soybean oil, 42.65, up 33. September, 42.67, up 29. August live cattle, 123.85, up 25. August feeder cattle, 153.80, up 30. And August lean hogs are 101.60, and they are up 20. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Seen some follow-through from yesterday's bullish USDA report on the soybeans.
We had follow-through in everything overnight, and then just recently beans are only up 2 to 4 and corn's down 5 to 7. So we made new highs on the beans overnight. We did not on the corn.
So what do you make of it?
Weather is the factor from here on in. It was a shock yesterday on the 2.1 less bushels per acre on corn. Maybe we've seen lows for a while now. Maybe we've seen them for the year. But until we actually get better numbers of what's out there, I think we'll be sideways on the corn and beans. Who knows how far they will go to the upside. But again, no pod counts. It was just a five-year average on pods. On corn, they had used average ear weights, and those things the next month could change if they when they actually get out and are able to weigh ears and count pods.
So the question, with the lateness of the crop, does that give extra impetus for the trade to pay attention to the Pro Farmer Crop Tour?
What are they going to be able to tell on beans? Will they be able to count any pods? On corn, they can count ears, and again, what's the weight going to be because of the early spring wetness and after planting wetness, how much nitrogen is left to fill that ear. And I think that's part of the reason they lowered corn yields. They might really look good, but there's no nitrogen left. Are they going to fill as well? So I think that you got all kind of questions out there after this report of can we hold these, will we go higher, are we just a bubble and go back down to trading better weather supposedly for the next 6 weeks.
With the producers that you directly work with, are you hearing any reports of tip back?
No. The people that we're talking to in this area are talking one of the best years ever on corn. Beans are still unknown because most of them don't have the pods on yet.
So is the risk now to the downside as it has been for the better part of 2 months?
I think the risk is still to the downside. You leave the top open and cover the bottom.
And a way to do that would be?
Puts, buy puts on corn and beans. If you're looking at frost could be a big player this year. That could push them all a lot higher. Mm-hmm. If we would have regular frost in the far north, an early frost would really hurt things in lots of places.
Thank you much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Latest tick on the marketplace. Hard red winter wheat for December at 7.02 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. Soft wheat at 6.46 and a quarter, down 2 and three quarters. That's the December. September corn 4.66 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. December 4.57 and a half, down 6 and a half. August soybeans 13.79, up 5 and a quarter. September 12.58 and three quarters, up 2 and a quarter. And November soybeans at 12.28. and a quarter, and they are up 3. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.